What's up, girls, gays, and theys? Welcome to The Thought Topic, a comedy podcast about surviving your 20s. And honestly, we all really could use some help. It's me, Christian, your thought therapist here to help guide you to the best of my thoughty knowledge on all things adulting. So, let's get it, shall we? My God. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of The Thought Topic. It's me, the one and only Christian Sanchez. It's Christian like Christian Dior. That is so corny, but I will always stand by it. And you know what? Honestly, I love saying it because once I do say it, no one ever questions what my name is after that. It's no Kristen, Christina. It's Christian, like Christian Dior. Don't forget it. Anyway, welcome back, y'all. Happy Friday. By the time you're listening to this, it's Tuesday now, and whew, we are off to a good start this week. I am fully back into the swing of things. I am feeling this, like, creative energy that is coming from, you know, everyone says it's coming from the age of Aquarius. Some people think it's just, you know, 2021, just being a new year of optimism since last year was so shitty. But basically what I'm trying to say is that I have so much shit going on right now, and in a good way. Like, I have a lot of creative opportunities coming my way right now. I'm auditioning a lot. And all virtually too. Like, it's really exciting to see kind of like the entertainment industry as far as like acting and even theater goes, adapting to the pandemic in a way that is safe and healthy for people to participate in, so we can still create art. I know I'm going on a little bit of a tangent here, but this is just an exciting update. So I hope you all are thriving, especially career-wise, whatever you may do. Now is just a really good time to dive into your projects or anything you feel excited about. So I'm definitely doing that. Anyway, so welcome back, hottie thotties. I hope you all enjoyed last week's episode with Diani. So many of you DM me saying, one, how hot she is, and two, how you laughed at the episode. So I'm so glad y'all loved her. Now you see why we are fellow thoughts together. But anyway, so this week I wanted to focus on grown shit. I feel like something I am an expert in is transitioning from being a young adult into my mid-20s. That's something that's kind of been on my mind recently. So I wanted to focus on that today. I wanted to talk about the transition from being a kind of fake adult, a baby adult when you're like 18 to like 20, you know, like college age, to being, you know, a sort of real adult in your mid-20s. Because I know that transition between college and your post-grad life can be kind of scary for people, or even from your high school to straight into the adult world. So yeah, that's what I really wanted to focus on today. Some grown ass shit, how to be a grown thought. So we'll talk about that transition. But first, I just wanted to talk about some recent news, do a little check in. Y'all know how we do it here. And yeah, so let's get into it. So we're only about 3 weeks into 2021, and we've already had a pretty hefty news cycle for just these three short weeks. This week we have a new president being inaugurated after we already had like crazy Trump supporters storm the Capitol. That's insane. Yikes. Kim and Kanye are getting divorced. This is also like a season of divorces or breakups. Like, Kim and Kanye are getting divorced. I know a lot of people are talking about that, which I have my opinions on the Kardashians, but I'll keep it to myself for now. We'll touch on that some other time. Zoe Kravitz and her husband are splitting up. That's crazy. Yeah. And so something I wanted to talk about that kind of ties into today's topic and something that inspired me when I was younger is the reboot of Sex and the City that's coming out. That's titled And Just Like That. So like I said, in honor in today's episode, I wanted to touch on this because when I was a young girl, before I, you know, wanted to become an actress and wanted to pursue my dreams of moving to the big city and, you know, being on Broadway and being a movie star, I used to watch Sex and the City when I was way too young to be watching it. And I just romanticized the idea of like being a working woman, being on the go, and not even necessarily in New York City, because there was a point in my time where I wasn't sure if I would live here or not, but just the lifestyles on that show really inspired me. And so I feel like giving my little two cents, my thought cents on the reboot would be totally appropriate for this episode. So, okay. First off, like I said, I'm a big, big, big Sex and the City fan. The first time I ever watched it is they used to have reruns on it on E! Network. And I remember when I was probably like 10, I would sit and watch them. And then whenever a sex scene came on, I would make sure I had like Cartoon Network or like Disney Channel on the back, on the like back channel button. So in case like my mom or any of my, you know, a million siblings walked in, I would be able to flip back quickly. But anyway, so I've always been a big Sex and the City fan. Now, with that said, you know, I think a lot of OG Sex and the City fans are a little skeptical of this sequel per se. So I just want to start off by saying, as someone who is an actor, especially because I am trained in musical theater, that's what I went to school for, you know, something that is typically done in theater, especially on Broadway a lot, is revivals. So shows that were popular, you know, in the 60s or 70s or 80s or etc. You know, usually there's a good at least 10-year span from when a show was on Broadway. They'll typically bring it back as a revival and they'll reimagine the show. I have noticed just in the past couple of years, a lot of directors, even just in the film industry, doing that as well with TV shows. You know, we had Charlie's Angels, just reboot of classic sitcoms, like, or sequels like Fuller House or Raven's House for That's So Raven. So, you know, like, this is definitely a trend where people feel the need to kind of like reimagine that or reignite that nostalgia for people who were fans of the show originally to kind of reintroduce it to a new audience as well. And so I totally understand the sentiment behind it. I think that's great. You know, you want to expose a new generation of people. Now, with that said, that's kind of why I'm feeling a little, I guess, maybe disappointed or a little hesitant about this reboot, because when you think about Sex and the City and what it stands for, you know, from a cultural standpoint, it was such this iconic show in the like early 2000s because it was women talking about sex. It was the first time like a lot of things about women and women's sexuality and these very kind of feminist themes were really present in daytime TV. It was the first time thematically we really had a show like that. And while that's really exciting, it definitely, I think of it as almost like a period piece or reflective of its time, because, you know, that was the style then, and it was edgy for, you know, the early 2000s. And so when you look at that show from a 2020 lens, it's maybe not as progressive or as inclusive as it would have been, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And like I said, I'm a big fan of the show. It inspired me a lot. But I guess the point I'm trying to make here is I just feel like to reboot a show about four women living in New York City in 2021, four white women, I should say, it just isn't that really inclusive, you know? I feel like, and something I'm even trying to work on in my own branding, in my own platform, I think there's just this larger conversation about having a more inclusive space in general. When you think of New York City, you don't think about the four white women who grew up in the suburbs and then moved into the city for their jobs, you know? You think about like the diversity and the all different sorts of people that live here and all their different backgrounds and jobs and lives and families and cultures. You know, that is part of the beautiful thing of living in an area like this. And there's so many rich stories and like meat of characters to really explore within that. And so to reboot a show that is so, you know, all this progressive ideas and ideology and then not implement that into the characters kind of just seems like, what's the point of reviving it if we're not gonna reimagine it, you know? Like I said, Sarah Jessica Parker, Cynthia Nixon, the whole cast, I just have always loved, especially as like a young actor. I would imagine myself as I got older and kept rewatching the show. I remember I'd watch it and be like, oh my gosh, like if I auditioned for the character of Charlotte or if I auditioned for Carrie, like this is how I would do it. And I studied their acting. And the older I got and the more I learned about even just acting in general and the way that like shows are filmed, it just became even more impressive to me. But I will say, you know, this whole idea of bringing it back in a not inclusive way just kind of is like, you know, come on, get with the times. If you want to be a progressive show and you want to reintroduce this from the 2021 lens, then really commit to that idea, you know? Also, Kim Cattrall, who plays Samantha Jones on the show, isn't returning, which a lot of people are upset by because Samantha is the, oh my God, she is the best fucking character. When you want to talk about storyline and who you're rooting for the whole time, me as like 20-something, anytime I watch that show, I always cared the most about Samantha. She was the least judgmental. She always was supportive of her friends, even when they weren't supporting their own decisions. Like, if there are so many examples in the show of Charlotte being unsure about making a decision that has to do with a man, and Sam or Samantha was always the one to be like, no girl, you need to focus on yourself. Who cares about men? Just fuck men. They're only good for sex, and just take care of yourself, which is the first time we really had an iconic character really be that way, you know? I mean, obviously there's other examples in our culture, but in such a big way like that, and so many people, you know, attribute Kim Cattrall, like, that's really, you know, what she's known for. And she's not coming back because she has tea with Sarah Jessica Parker, apparently. Well, and, you know, I think it makes sense career-wise that she doesn't want to be, like, she's been quoted in interviews. That was a part of my life that I really enjoy, but I'm done with. Like, I'm older now. I did that. You can cast someone else as that role and I'll be supportive of it. She was even quoted in an interview saying, why don't you cast Oprah or Sofia Vergara or literally anyone else as Samantha? Like, she's all for it. And I think that's kind of what I was talking about earlier when it comes to reimagining the show from a new lens that's more inclusive with women of different races or even people with different gender identities or sexualities. I feel like that would more accurately represent what it's like to live in New York City and the kind of people and the kind of lifestyle it is to have here. Before this reboot was even announced, I would always say to my friends, you know, I'm not usually a fan of reboots or reimagining of old shows or sequels to shows. I think I'm always like a fan of the original, but I will say I have always liked the idea of Sex and the City getting rebooted, but with a cast that is, you know, more inclusive. Oh my God, take a shot every time I say inclusive, but a cast that's like, let's say, you know, it's still 20 to 30 something women, right? Still four best friends, but you know, they all have different cultural backgrounds. Like, can we have a Black Samantha? Can we have a lesbian Miranda? Can we have more non-binary characters? You know, I mean, I think that would really like make the show more accurate, one, because it's showing showing New York City in a not just white lensed or whitewashed kind of depiction. And two, it will make it just, I don't know, more relatable. I think that sometimes when directors try to put in those themes of race or identity and it doesn't totally fit, it feels a little bit forced and inauthentic. But because that's what the show is about and there's so much to work with those kinds of characters, that I think it would just work really well. And so, I don't know, that's just kind of my two cents. As a young thought, watching that show, it inspired me to really own my own pussy, to own my own power and to like grow up and be like, wow, I want to be like those women. I want to do whatever I feel empowered to do. I want to be career focused. I want to date a bunch of men and make them work for me. You know, I feel like that's why a lot of people romanticize this show, because they really identified with those themes and those characters in a way that they couldn't before. And so I'm still gonna watch the reboot so I can give it a fair shot. I'm just saying, let's take away the problematic aspects of Sex and the City and make it better. So I don't know, we'll see. Also, apparently in the reboot, Big died, which is like, okay, what was literally the entire point of the series then if Big is dead? I don't know, that's just my opinion. So we'll see. Anyway, that's my Sex and the City tangent. I thought, like I said, it would be appropriate to kind of divulge into my thought two cents, just because it did inspire me when I was young to be an independent woman, to grow up to be an independent woman. And that's what we're talking about today when it comes to transitioning from kind of like adolescence or college into your post-grad life or your post-high school life into adulthood and how to navigate that. So thank you, Sex and the City, for teaching me a lot about how to be a thought. Low-key, y'all were some of the OG thoughts I watched on TV besides maybe Charm School or any of those like crazy VH1 reality shows that I love, or Jersey Shore, another, again, a big Jersey Shore fan. If I wasn't watching reality TV as a child, I was watching Disney Channel or Sex and the City. So I think that explains why I am the way I am, why I'm in therapy. But without further ado, let's get into our main topic today, shall we? So I'm actually really excited to talk about this today because I feel like, you know, I've had this podcast for some time now and I've talked a lot about my life in the city, right? Because the whole concept of the thought topic is, you know, this survival guide to your 20s and what it's like from my perspective of living in New York City. And so I kind of want to use this time to explain where I've come from and how I grew up to hopefully give you guys some perspective on why I, again, feel credited to talk about the things that I do. So we're going to talk about life during college versus post-college. And I'm just going to talk on my experience for a little bit. Here we go. Okay. So I went to Central Michigan University for college, and I just would like to say, for those of you who don't know, I am one of 9 children. Yes, that is 9. And I am the most middle child there ever was. I have 4 older siblings, 4 younger siblings, so I am right in the fucking middle of 9 kids, which is crazy. Anytime I tell someone that, they're just like astounded. So growing up, I'm just going to be transparent about it. I didn't come from money at all. I don't want to get too much into it right now because that's not totally what we're talking about today. But to give you guys some perspective, until I was about maybe 10 years old, I shared a room with my 4 younger siblings and one of my older sisters. Like, and we lived in this tiny duplex with my immediate family. And then in the other side was my uncle and his family. And so, you know, definitely like low income housing in a decent sized Midwestern city. For those of you who aren't familiar, Grand Rapids, Michigan is like a standard Midwestern city. Like I said, it's not a farm. Whenever I say I'm from Michigan, people always assume I'm from a farm. And, you know, I guess rightfully so, but I'm not. Okay. If I was from a farm, I would not claim that, I guess. Embarrassing. Yeehaw. Anyway, so back to my point. Because I come from a big family and neither of my parents went to college, trying to figure out what I was going to do when I grew up was kind of a journey for me. So ultimately, I, you know, always had a passion for singing and acting, and I took voice lessons when I was a kid. I took dance classes, and I was always doing plays and musicals. And so fortunately, I had friends and teachers in high school who were like, you know, you can go and get a degree in this, and you can go and pursue musical theater as a career if you want to. And I was like, that sounds fucking tight. I want to do that. I would love to do that. Because when I was a teenager, all I cared about was literally going to acting class and like making out with my boyfriend in the hallway. I know that's so fucking cringy, but it's just the truth. So I was the first person in my family to go to college. And I remember my mom being so helpful to me, because I would be like, Mom, I want to apply to a school, but I don't really know how to do it. And so she would sit down at the dinner table with me and we would try to figure out just college applications and the verbiage. And, you know, I would look at her and I'd be like, what do they mean by this on like certain applications? And she'd be like, I don't know. We'd like look it up together because we were just trying to make this shit happen. And I'm honestly really grateful. I've always had parents like that who are like, you know, we may not be able to support you financially, but we're gonna support you in every other kind of way, you know? So I have always been very thankful to have a mom and dad who do that, who were like, you know, can't pay for your college, but we're gonna help you figure it out. So most of my siblings had the experience once they turned 18, they probably lived with my parents for like a year or two, and then they would move out and go start working their job. But I went to college on my own. And when I first got there, I was so scared because I had no idea what I was getting into. I will say one of my older sisters did go to, my sister Taylor, shout out, who is 3 years older than me. So in the order of the children, it's her and then me. She went to school for a semester and then took a year off. So I will say she did end up going to school and finishing, but she took time off because she had just like a really tough first semester, and she wasn't totally sure what she wanted to do. So I kind of, based on what she told me, I kind of had an idea of what to expect, but not totally. So I was fucking scared. And so my freshman year, I really played it safe. Like, I didn't party a lot. I didn't get into the whole crazy lifestyle of college culture where you're just like raging all the time and then like cramming your studying in to make sure you pass your exams or whatever. And plus, I was a performance major. You can't really like treat your body like that. Otherwise, you're not gonna do well on your exams and your performances and shit. So I was a good noodle my freshman year. I still had fun, but I was pretty responsible about the times I chose to have fun. But ultimately, as I got older, I really started to think about, you know, okay, so I'm in school for performing arts, like I'm in school for acting, but what does that mean? Like, what do I wanna look like when I'm out of here? And I think the biggest transition in mindset I had from being, you know, 18 and 19 to 20 and 21, it was like, oh, okay, I need to start thinking about my goals a little bit far in advance, right? Because I felt like I was always goal-oriented, but I would only ever think about it a few weeks or a few months at a time, as opposed to like a few years at a time, or looking at it really big picture. And so, you know, even when it came down to like dating, I would always go on dates and like party and just kind of like not be serious with guys. Even though I had a lot of guys in college who would be like, oh, Christian, I really like you. I want to date you. But I never took them seriously because I was at a point in my life where I'm like, I don't really want to date anyone seriously. So I'm just here to have fun. And I think that's really when I embraced my thotty behavior, and not just like by just like fucking a bunch of people, but just by owning my pussy and owning myself. But anyway, so that's the biggest point I'm trying to make here, is that I really started to shift my mindset from just being detail oriented to really looking at the big picture. So with that being said, you know, I wanna dive into post-college, some post-college rules that really helped me. So if anyone out there, if any of you thotties are out there listening and you're thinking like, oh my God, this adulting shit's hard. I know most of my demographic right now for people listening are probably around the same age as me or a few years younger, and they're like, how do I be a fucking adult? Like, how do I do this shit? And so I'm gonna share with you some things that I did, especially coming from the Midwest and moving to a city and doing it all on my own. So I'm just here to share some of that knowledge with y'all. Okay, y'all, so this episode's a little different just because while at the end of this segment I usually just drop one or two thought tips, today I'm gonna do five just general thought tips when it comes to post-grad life. These are some tips that I think are universal that can apply to anyone, no matter what your career is, what your financial standings are, something that I learned that I just want to share with y'all. Number one, I already touched on, but that's think bigger picture. You know, when I was in high school, my mom would always say to me like, Christian, this isn't going to matter to you a month from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. So don't be upset about it. And when you're a teenager, that is such a hard mindset to get out of. And I feel like I really disciplined myself to not think that way anymore. And so in college, I think that's why I started to develop really tough skin. And so things that like men would say to me or professors or friends, it really didn't bother me. Like if a guy didn't text me back, I remember not giving a fuck. I would be like, oh, I don't fucking care. And I would just move on, because to me, I was like, well, they're not gonna be my husband and they're not gonna be my boyfriend. So I'm really not that pressed about it, you know? And I know it's easier said than done, especially for me, because I can be a bit of a control freak at times. But when it comes to thinking bigger picture, it's easy to subdue that or set aside that anxious voice in your brain that's making you stress about something small, when you really step back and say to yourself, does this actually matter? In the bigger picture, does this really actually matter? And it's such a hard place to get to. But when you really put the work into having that mental discipline, you are just so much more happy and you are so much more confident, and you're able to focus on what's actually important to you. Number two, come up with a financial plan for your goals, depending on what they may be. So, you know, I know my sister, when she was 18, one of my younger sisters, Rachel, shouting out the Sanchez Sibs in this episode. But anyway, I know that when she was younger, she really wanted to move out of my parents' house. You know, she wasn't sure if she wanted to go to school yet, and she ended up going to cosmetology school later, but she wasn't sure how to really do that transition. So she was like, okay, I just need to get a job, and no matter what the job is, I'm just gonna do it because I just need to survive. And so she just hit me up and she was like, hey, Christian, can you get me a job at the restaurant you're working at so I can make some money? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I just remember being impressed with my younger sister being like, hey, I need a job and I'm ready to work, and not being afraid to ask her older sister for help with that. Now, an experience I had when it came to coming up with a financial plan to meet my short-term or long-term goal was moving to New York when I graduated. So my senior year of college, typically what people do in a musical theater program or some kind of acting program, they'll audition for a panel of agents, either in New York, LA, Chicago, depending on what your school's program. And so my school did a showcase in New York City, and I was fortunate enough to get signed by an agency here. So while I was auditioning for kind of different acting internships and acting programs that I could have done in the summertime in random towns, like I did one in a small town in Illinois one year, I did one in East Michigan just to get some experience in acting. Because I signed with an agency, I was like, okay, I don't need to do that this year. I just need to save up money for a couple months and get my ass to New York so I can start auditioning and working with my agent. So what I ended up doing is coming up with a financial plan of how much money I needed to save each week. I moved back in with my parents for, I think, 2 or 3 months post-college. And mind you, I had not lived with my parents since I was 17 turning 18 when I left for my freshman year of college after high school. So that was definitely like a big mind hurdle I needed to get over, because I just, once you had been living on your own for 4 years and you have to live with your parents for a certain amount of time, I'm sure many people can relate to this, speaking that a lot of people did this during quarantine. They like went back and lived with their parents or their family members. It is really fucking hard to deal with. And like I said, I have a good relationship with my parents. And I think part of the reason I have a good relationship with them is because I moved out when I was 18 and I don't see them all the time, which I know can sound kind of sad, but it makes me appreciate them more instead of focusing on what annoys me about them. So because of that, I talked to my parents, and my lease was ending at my college apartment, and I moved back home to live with them and just work my ass off for 3 months so I could get my ass to New York City. So I was waitressing, I was working at a restaurant. I also started freelancing for different beauty brands, which I still kind of do now to make money too. And I'll talk more about that in another episode of all different kind of side hustle jobs I've had to help, you know, pay my bills. I was doing that. I also was doing Disney princess parties, which is probably definitely not legal as far as copyrights go, but who knows? Anyway, so I was doing literally everything I could and trying to not spend money, period. That was probably the most boring 3 months of my life. I didn't go out. I didn't buy clothes. I literally did nothing but save my money so I could hit my financial goal and move to New York City so I can make my shit happen. Like I said earlier in the episode, I, you know, didn't come from a super privileged family financially. So I paid for college myself. I pretty much have always had a job since I was old enough to work. I think, yeah, I've had a job since I was 16. And, you know, my parents aren't able to financially support me. They have so many children. And so they have blessed me and supported me in other ways, but definitely not financially. So I've really always had to be independent in that way. And so I think that kind of just comes naturally for me. But if that's something that, you know, you personally struggle with, find something that maybe find a job or come up with a financial plan that you can feel passionate about or that excites you. So that way, you know, when you do have to go to work, it motivates you a little bit more because you have that goal set in your mind already and you're already envisioning it. I know I'm on my little soapbox here, but even if it's as small as, you know, I want to go on a vacation. I mean, I know we can't dream about vacations right now due to COVID, but hypothetically speaking, there will be a time again where we can vacation. So with that being said, don't be afraid to come up with a financial plan to help support whatever short-term or long-term goal you might have. Okay, number 3, allow yourself to make mistakes. Let yourself have fun. So I was always under this illusion that like college is supposed to be the wildest, craziest years of your life. And I was wrong. Don't get me wrong. I definitely was a party girl in college. I know I said before my freshman year was a little bit more chill, but I did have my fun times in college. But you know, I was there to work. I really didn't get too much into the party scene, you know? Like, I had a lot of friends who were in sororities and fraternities, and so they were definitely hardcore into it. While I had fun, I always knew in my mind, like, my work and my goals outside of being a student are what's really important to me. So I just need to focus on getting my degree and getting the fuck out of here. So that being said, since I moved to New York City, I have had the craziest, wildest, most fun times that I will probably never do again, but I will cherish so deeply. And real talk here, this is some important thoughty knowledge to kind, or a thoughty mantra you should keep in mind. You know, I have always tried to have some kind of like counselor or therapist. And I remember I was talking to my therapist probably in October, and I was telling her about how one time I went partying, and then I felt really guilty about it after, and for no reason really, because I didn't have work the next day, I didn't have anything I needed to do, but because I felt like it was wrong, or I felt like it was too self-indulgent, I felt guilty about it. And she said to me, and you know, maybe this is her job to say it to me, since she's my therapist and I'm paying her to validate my feelings. She basically was like, girl, I mean, she didn't say girl, but she said, girl, it is okay to allow yourself to let loose and have fun. Like, yes, you're very self-disciplined and motivated. And sometimes I can be not those things. Sometimes I can be a little too indulgent, but that's part of figuring out how to have balance in life and figuring out, you know, sometimes you have to go a little too far to be like, all right, I gotta reel it back in. You can make mistakes. You can call into work one day because you're hungover. You can throw up on the train on Halloween in your Ariana Grande costume, and your boyfriend at the time, who's dressed like Pete Davidson, picks pizza out of your hair. Like, things like that will just happen, and you have to let them. Show up to work with your fake lashes on from the night before. Nobody has to know. They're not gonna know. Okay, number four here is definitely don't be afraid to go for something even if you don't think you'll get it. Oh my God, this is something I constantly have to remind myself of, especially I think people who are women or women identifying, we are kind of just taught to think, oh, well, I'm not really qualified for that. You know, I've always heard people talking about that, or talking about this idea that, oh, women will stop themselves or second guess themselves for going for something because, you know, of XYZ reasons, either misogyny, or they don't feel like they're good enough, or they don't feel qualified enough. And those all kind of correlate together. But my point is, even if you don't think you're qualified for something, you might as well try anyway and surprise yourself. It's such a satisfying feeling when it does work out and you do get something that you didn't think you were gonna get. You're like, holy shit, I'm fucking awesome. So I think this philosophy can also translate well over into dating. For example, you guys can call me out on this because I know I've said it on this podcast before that I am afraid to text people first, but especially when I'm dating someone new. But I will say, don't be afraid to send that text or that risky text to some guy if you're interested in him. You know, if you're like, hey, I'm free on Friday. If you're thinking to yourself, hey, I'm free on Friday, I should hit this guy up and see if he wants to hang out. If you're gonna wait for him to hit you up, you never know if he's gonna do it or not. So do it if you think he'll reject you or if he won't answer. It might hurt your ego for a little bit, but then you just go on Hinge and you match with someone else and then you feel better. So honestly, you really have nothing to lose. You know, like I said, don't be afraid to go for something even if you don't think you'll get it. Tip number five, and this is my last biggest piece of advice to you. Tip number five is treat yourself. Oh my God, I know we just had this whole conversation about financial responsibility and thinking bigger picture. Not to be a little devil's advocate, I like to live by the philosophy, if something makes me feel good, I'm gonna do it. And not necessarily when it comes to things that are bad for me. I mean, maybe people think that like buying expensive skincare is bad for me, but I would highly disagree. At least I'm not like, I don't know, at least I'm like not committing murder. I think there are bigger priorities, Karen, okay? So when it comes to this whole idea of treat yourself, right? Like, we've always said, who coined that? I think it was Aziz Ansari's character that really popularized that from Parks and Rec. But yeah, this whole idea of treat yourself, right? I realized since college especially because I was really fucking broke in college. I mean, I'm still like moderately broke, eventually hoping one day I won't be horribly broke, but I wouldn't treat myself as often, or I felt like I couldn't buy clothes or dress a certain way because I thought I had to spend a lot of money to do it. But what I've realized, especially post-college, is that it's good to invest in yourself because it really truly does make you feel more confident. And so treating yourself can be expressed in whatever kind of way you want it to be. But the way I like to exercise it, especially now that I'm getting into my mid-20s, it's by investing in things that make me feel good, like good quality skincare and like good quality clothes and experiences with my friends that I'll cherish and remember, you know? And so I think that's a good way to kind of just tie in all these little post-grad tips that we talked about. And hopefully that gives you guys some perspective on, you know, if you are in your mid-20s or you're still in school and you're thinking about, oh my God, I'm scared to become an adult. Here's the thing. No matter if you're 25, 27, fucking 35, you really never actually figure this shit out, right? So that's why we're here, to help each other feel empowered, to feel like we're not alone in this, right? To feel like we don't have to be afraid to make mistakes and figure this shit out, you know? When I was talking about Sex and the City earlier, I had this whole complex as a kid, and a lot of people do, I think, when it comes to different movies or TV shows that inspire them, but this whole romanticized idea of what I was going to be like when I was 25, or what I was going to be like when I was 23, and, you know, we can't ever truly plan for the future. We kind of just have to go with what we're handed, but we are constantly evolving and changing, like, what, every 2 to 3 years? So if you don't like where you're at right now, it's okay. You're not gonna even be the same person 2 months from now. I'm not even the same fucking person I was in the beginning of quarantine. Honestly, in the beginning of quarantine, I was, I would say, not as in touch with my emotional intelligence, not as in touch with myself. I was really just so going through the motion of day-to-day life that I wasn't really thinking about long-term of my general mental health or well-being. And so the biggest thought tip to take away from that is to always, always, always prioritize yourself. But don't be afraid to dream as big as possible and allow yourself to be multifaceted in that way. To be, yes, you are very goal-oriented and you are responsible, but you're also fucking fun bitch, you know? The modern woman, or the modern bad bitch, or the modern thotty, whatever you want to call it, whatever you fucking identify as, you're not just limited to being the one thing you define yourself by. You know, in college, some of my friends would refer to me as a party girl or a thotty girl, right? I've talked about that before. And I would always laugh because, sure, I am, that is a part of me, and that's a part of me I enjoy. I like that people think that I'm fun or I'm funny, but that doesn't mean the opposite isn't true either. That I'm responsible, goal-oriented, ambitious. And so it's okay to be all of those things and to swing back and forth, because eventually you'll balance out. All right, y'all, you already know what time it is. It is time for everybody's favorite thought anthem of the week. So this week I have a popular song for ya. I've been working out very consistently since the beginning of the year started, and not in a way to like really push myself, but working out in a way that makes me feel good. This song is definitely at the top of my workout playlist. It makes me feel good when I'm on the Stairmaster machine in the gym, or even if I'm doing my home workouts because I'm trying to, I don't know, squeeze a little workout in before I have to do other shit. But that is Levitating by none other than Dua Lipa featuring DaBaby. So I have a funny story about Dua Lipa. I've always had like a love-hate relationship with her because, one, I think she is fucking sexy. I wish I looked like her. I hope that one day I have enough money to buy a face so I can look like her. But I remember when she first came out, or she first started kind of like getting popular, I would see videos of her on Twitter doing the softest choreo, the softest pop girly choreo, and people just dogging her for it, being like, girl, if you're gonna be the next pop queen, you gotta get better. And she fucking did it. Like, I don't know if she took dance classes or she hired like a personal choreographer to be like, let me get this shit. But she's definitely improved a lot. So shout out to Dua Lipa for putting that self-work in. But I feel like the year 2020, she like blew up even more because I think right before the pandemic hit, everywhere I went, I was hearing Don't Start Now. And that was on an old running or like workout cardio playlist of mine. But yeah, recently I've really been into levitating. She also performed it on SNL, I think in December. And she wore this like long white flowy outfit where she looked like an angelic jellyfish. And I was like, wow. I didn't realize I wanted to look like an angelic jellyfish, and now I do. And oh my god, I don't mean to sexualize Dua Lipa so much, but she is just so fucking hot. I can't. I really can't. Anytime I see her boobs, I'm just like, I can't look away. Oh, another part of my love-hate relationship with her is also my man's always talks about how fine he thinks Dua Lipa is, so then I dramatically run away because I'm like, I know, I wish I could look like Dua Lipa too because she's so hot, and then I cry because I'm like, I want to be famous one day. What are you going to do when we meet Dua Lipa? And he was like, babe, you need to relax. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. I'm insecure. I need you to tell me I'm beautiful. Anyway, so yeah, enough about my weird insecurity and my weird obsession with Dua Lipa. Everyone check out this song. It will definitely make you feel motivated. And it will definitely be added to the Thought Anthem playlist that I have on Spotify. So that being said, that is all I have for you guys this week. Make sure that you are subscribed to The Thought Topic on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now Stitcher. There is also, just so you guys know, so if you listen to The Thought Topic on Spotify, even if you subscribe to it, there's a way you can get notifications specifically every time we upload an episode. Yay! And you don't want to miss any episodes we have coming out. So if you can hit that notification reminder, please, please, please do. Also, like us, rate us, leave a comment. It helps other people discover the podcast, and you gotta connect with all of our thotties, babes, all of our hot thoughts. So with that being said, thank you guys for tuning in this week. If you're feeling that post-grad depression, it's okay. You'll get through it. Just remember the tips we talked about, and I will see y'all next week.